you know, what is WikiLeaks? I mean, what does it represent?
Well, WikiLeaks is first and most importantly an outgrowth of the Internet itself. And I like to think of it as a kind of promise or contract extended to sources, people with documents, people who have information. And the contract says that if you submit these documents to us through WikiLeaks.org, we will encrypt them so that you cannot be found out by the authorities and we won't even know who you are. And we will then verify them so that we know that they are what you say they are. If you tell us their bank records from Chase Manhattan Bank, we have to find out if that's true. And if we do, we will publish them and send them out to the world and draw attention to them. And so you can see WikiLeaks as a mechanism for putting that promise into effect. And I think that's a good way of starting.
Now, I know in the past you submitted documents to them and they posted them relatively quickly. Now it seems like they're actually doing some kind of vetting or some kind of checking. I mean, does that kind of change their role in a way?
Well, they are actually not accepting documents right now because they're overwhelmed with what they have. And they realize that there is a process of checking, packaging, and also negotiating with news organizations about the release of important troves. And so I think they have learned. In fact, every time they do one of these major releases, they do it a little differently. So they're an evolving organization. And one of the most important things they learned is that if you simply place documents online that have important stories buried in them, and you expect reporters to go into those documents and come up with the stories and publish them, it won't actually happen. And this was a surprise to Assange because he assumed that reporters like stories, reporters like scoops, and if they can go to the documents we have online and find amazing revelations, they will do that. What he didn't understand is that if it's already public in the mind of an investigative journalist, it's kind of spoiled. So that's one of the reasons they started to provide documents in advance to big news organizations. So they have been so successful at this promise or contract that I described earlier that they actually have too much stuff. They don't have enough resources to process it all.
Yeah. How important do you think their role has become? Do you see what they're doing? You know, how does it relate to leaks in the past and things like the Pentagon Papers and other episodes where government documents have been disclosed?
Well, I think this is the edge of something much bigger than leaks like the Pentagon Papers. Because electronic information is so easy to multiply, distribute, and steal and move around, you have a completely different scale of challenge in trying to control information. And what this really tells us is that the decontrol of information within large bureaucracies and secretive governments and companies is becoming really problematic. I mean, and becoming more and more a fact of life for those organizations. And I don't think they're prepared for that. I think so many of our ideas and bureaucracies are based at the deepest roots on an assumption of control, information control, that we don't even realize how radical WikiLeaks is. And if WikiLeaks itself is destroyed or goes away, that ability, that capacity is still there in the decentralized internet and digital technology itself.
Right. So the idea that someone could shut down their services or attack them, I guess they're constantly under kind of hack attacks. I mean, no matter what you do to them, they're probably going to find another way to get the information out, or someone else will exist. It's a network kind of decentralized idea, right?
Yeah, it's a consequence of a decentralized internet with some simple protocols that can't be monopolized, and a communication system that doesn't have the gates that the old media system had. And it's also a consequence of the fact that the marginal cost of creating an additional copy of digital information is zero. And it's those facts, almost like the way Moore's Law in computing just sort of grinds on and keeps changing the world. It's almost like that kind of a fact.
And how do journalists, I mean, how do they deal with this kind of new way of disseminating information, new way of kind of leaks coming out? Should more news organizations be looking into these kinds of things, or maybe setting up their own ways of taking in links? I mean, what do you think their role in these kinds of leaks would be?
Well, I think it would be very interesting to set up a local WikiLeaks for local stories and local documents. I mean, I don't know if it would work, but it would be interesting because if the story is simply about, you know, a bank in Cleveland, that's not necessarily going to be of interest to an international organization like WikiLeaks, but it could be of great interest to people in Cleveland. But I think if I were a journalist, I would go back to this question. Why do these sources, people with documents, people with stories, why would they choose WikiLeaks over professional journalists in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is where our journalists have a lot of thinking to do, because they aren't necessarily as trusted as they think. They imagine themselves the reliable sources of information, but from a leaker's point of view, maybe they're not as reliable as they think in telling the world what's going on. And so that's why I said in this video that I did this week about the WikiLeaks case that the watchdog press's collapse and failure to actually detect, for example, a phony case for war under Bush and its inability to actually serve as a watchdog lies in the background of the rise of WikiLeaks, because the watchdog press can't really do what it says it does. And I think that's one of the reasons why sources go to this shadowy organization.
And so trying to set up like a local WikiLeaks, that idea, I mean, you need to build the trust. I mean, you have to be able to be a place that people trust that they are secure.
That you'll do something with what they give you.
Yeah.
The skills that WikiLeaks has, besides being good with computers and servers, the basic skill that Assange has is in encryption. And it's the ability to encrypt a connection so that we can't find out who the leaker is that creates that confidence.
Yeah.
But news organizations have no skills in encryption. You know. That's not their thing. That's not their game.
Right. But maybe there's a way they could partner with someone like Assange or someone, you know, a technologist or something.
A local WikiLeaks with a news organization like the local newspaper able to broadcast the invite would be very interesting. I don't know if it'll happen, but it would certainly be worth watching.
Yeah. And what do you think about what Amazon did, where they basically kind of kicked WikiLeaks off their servers? Is that going to have a long-term effect on their business and their perception?
Well, I don't know about that. One of the odd things about our laws is that in that case, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, actually belongs to Jeff Bezos. It's his right to put on his servers what he wants that the Constitution protects. And I think it was a very strange move by Amazon, especially if the reports about their responding to Lieberman just by kicking WikiLeaks off within a couple of hours are true, especially in that they didn't explain themselves until they were forced to, and the fact that Bezos himself didn't see it necessary to step up to the plate and address this. All those things are very worrisome, and it just shows, and Amazon is not an exception here, that relying on private companies as providers of infrastructure for the open web is a very dangerous thing, and we unfortunately are in that position, not just with Amazon, but with other companies as well.
Right. Why do you think so few people are defending WikiLeaks and all this? It feels like there's a lot of attacks against them, and you know, some of the free speech advocates are coming out in favor of them, but you don't hear a lot of, you don't even really hear a lot of journalists defending them, it doesn't seem.
Right.
Like.
I think that there's this irresistible temptation to show how responsible you are by separating yourself from the irresponsible people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a cheap and easy way of proving your professionalism is by denouncing these outlaws, you know,
mm-hmm.
and claiming that you would be far more responsible. There's also a level of cluelessness that I find astounding. When I was at the Online News Association meeting a few weeks ago, I don't know if you were there in Washington.
I wasn't there, but I remember.
There was a panel on WikiLeaks, and an editor from USA Today began his analysis of the latest document dump by asking the crowd, well, who decides whether this information from the Iraq war logs is worthy of being published? Who decides? And, you know, I wanted to stand up. I didn't, but I wanted to stand up and say, are you out of your mind? That's like asking who decides if that hurricane is going to hit South Florida. You know, the game is out of your control. If we decide that WikiLeaks isn't a responsible decider, right, what are we going to do then, right? And there's almost like a subtle, or maybe it's not so subtle, maybe it's completely blatant refusal to just recognize there's a new reality here that doesn't look like any of our previous information regimes. And I think that's responsible for a lot of these reactions from journalists. And so what I've tried to do in my own commentary on this is not praise Assange as a hero or denounce him as an enemy of the state or frame WikiLeaks as, you know, the next great press freedom organization or denounce it as an evil empire, but just try and understand, okay, what is this thing, you know, what makes it different? And I think that's hard enough.
That's true. There are just so many levels to it. It's hard to make that decision, you know, that it's, well, you know, people in the media like to make the either or, it's evil or it's good. It's good.
Sure.
But, you know, that's pretty typical, but there are a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of things that you can say, okay, it's great. There's a lot of things that are really great about it. And then there's other things that you just wonder about. And there's a lot of ethical gray area, I guess, is what makes it difficult.
Yeah. And, I think part of it is that some journalists are stunned that something could come along that's even more aggressive about freedom of information than they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is our thing.
True.
You know? And who are these, you know, who are these people?
Yeah. It's like, okay, you take what happens with the Pentagon Papers and multiply it by, you know, a billion.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's like what you were saying, Pentagon Papers. That was nothing, you know? Get a load of this, right? And I think it sort of stuns people in journalism.
Yeah, to the point where they just think, is this even possible? Is this even right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to follow it and see what happens. It's step after
Mark
step.
Mark Pesce of Australia, he's an American who became an Australian media observer, wrote a piece this week which was really good about this, and he said, what we have to start doing is thinking of information as a source, as a form of nature.
Hmm.
You know, that information almost moves the way storms move. And that's why I said, you know, who decides whether that typhoon is going to gather in the Indian Ocean? You know, is a stupid question.
Yeah,
information as a force of nature is not the way we are accustomed to thinking of it.
No, and we, in the traditional journalism sense, is, you know, we'll decide when something gets reported. We'll decide if it's right to do it.
Right.
You know, we'll kind of control that information. And now it's just, it's a storm, and the only thing you can do is observe it and talk about what's happening with it, right?
We'll decide when information gets to the public. WikiLeaks, you know those scenes in movies where the character plunges the hammer down on a bomb and it blows up, like in the cartoons?
Right.
That's what this is like. They're like blowing up the information world
Yeah.
That most professional journalists have grown up in.